It's also one of the reasons that I like hot yoga. I just thought I'd bring that back.
Why? What in the world?
I just want you to feel about hot yoga.
I know how you feel about hot yoga, but
yoga.
That makes me laugh. But one of the reasons I like to do it early, early in the morning is because the lights are off. And I cannot see what, like, I'm a novice and I can kind of do the child's pose and the other thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are people in the room who can do that plus some. But in the dark, it doesn't really matter. I only get to focus on myself. So it actually makes me really happy. IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women.
In a world that forces us to choose between extremes, black and white, red and blue, we believe you have more freedom than you've ever grasped. What if there was another approach to the important topics of your life? Things like sex, race, self-image, even FOMO.
What if there was a third way that both culture and religion missed? This season, we're looking for that elusive third way. The way of grace, of challenge, of growth, the way of Jesus. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women. We're talking about a subject that has really been near and dear to my heart for probably a couple of years or so as I've watched my 17-year-old, soon-to-be graduate of high school, off to college and beyond. As I've talked to her about like what God's plan for her is, we've really talked about running your own race. And what I've seen in her is a resistance to that because there's so many people who are running a race that she wants to run. And it's been crazy to help her understand that she has one race that God has called her to. And that's what we're talking about today. So I'm excited to talk about comparison, what it feels like to feel like you're missing out on the right plan in our lives, connecting what God has for us and like kind of running that race or executing that plan versus looking to the left or to the right and seeing what other people are doing. And so I am really excited to hear what these folks have to say. What do you
think? Good. I am too. And what you were talking about reminded me of what my swim coach would always tell me when I was younger and I swam. Never, ever, ever look at the people in the lane next to you. It was like, you're going to mess up your own race. Yeah. This isn't about them.
Get distracted.
Yes. You're going to, you need to swim your own race. There's no reason.
Yep.
No reason. And so when you were talking, I'm literally seeing my old swim coach and thinking about watching one of my kids put her head up in the middle of the pool and look at the people around her and just tread water while she was doing it. So that's exactly what it made me think of. So Corinne, welcome
to
IKR.
Thanks.
It's great to have you. It's really great to have you. Can you just introduce yourself to us? Tell us a little bit about you, where you've been in the last year or two. How old are you?
So I am 23. I went to Ohio State for my undergrad, and I've worked for Crossroads for about almost a year, actually. And now I'm currently on the OTG team, which is off the grid, and we do all the camps. That's pretty much what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give us a little... give us a snapshot of what this stage of life is like for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what do you think most people in your life stage are doing?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think culture says you should be doing right now?
So to give some background, when I went into college, I was biology pre-med. And I was like, I love science. I love helping people. Doctor, that makes the most sense. Not for everybody. It was really hard. And I said, you know, I still want to help people. I want to do something else, a little less rigorous. So I switched to neuroscience and thought, I'm going to try out that. And then, so switching around can cause some blips in your timeline in your head or your path in your head of how you want your life to go in terms of getting experience and internships and research positions, stuff like that. And it seemed like my friends, the majority of them knew what they wanted to do, and it seemed like they really just seamlessly went through the motions and checked all the boxes. They got their internships. They got offers to go back to those companies for full-time jobs. And I even know a couple now of friends that have gotten raises. They've gotten promotions, and we've been out of school for a year or so. And I actually never thought that I would work at a church. That's not, I mean, like I said, I was thinking something in medicine, something in a hospital or a clinic or something, and now I work at a church. And people are confused. They're like, you do camps or something at a church. Explain. And it's not the normal path, so I feel like when people question it and they kind of look at me confused, it sort of makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong or I'm off track. And I know that that's a very worldly view of you need to do this so that you can do this, so that you can get this job, so that you can get this promotion, and then maybe start a family. And because it feels like I'm off or not doing something right, it really makes me question the path that I'm on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel really just upset and down and confused.
When somebody says to you, you're doing what? Mm-hmm. And they give you that look, maybe they outright ask you why, or maybe they just give you this shameful judgment feeling.
Mm-hmm.
What is really being said to you right then? At least how do you receive what's being said to you? And what do you think their concern for you is?
Mm-hmm. Well, when people say that, I immediately think, man, I've just cornered myself into like a career. You've really set yourself up so you can't progress. It's like okay, and you're here, you're going to stay there because of just how
because the work that you're doing isn't seen as legitimate mm-hmm. outside of wherever you are.
Yeah. And you don't know, like, from the outside, how do you climb the ladder in a church? Like, what's the goal, I guess? And a lot of people, when they go, I feel like, I don't know. When you go into business, it's you want to entry level manager and then sort of move up, and that's sort of how it goes. But in a church, like, how do you progress, you know?
Mm-hmm. What does your faith add into this for you? You obviously didn't randomly work at a church.
Mm-hmm.
You have faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
How does that faith factor into this conversation?
Yeah. So, like I said, I'd never really expected to work at a church or a nonprofit, I guess. But I grew up in the church. I grew up at Crossroads. And it had always been something that was super important to me. So when I was applying to jobs coming out of college, and actually I was sending out a lot of applications and I got a lot of no's from different places, but Crossroads said yes. I, having faith that I'd end up where I was supposed to be, didn't receive all the no's as like, man, you suck. It was more like, no, God wants me to be at Crossroads because he knows that I needed support from other people that had the same beliefs that I did. Because in college, it's relatively hard to find people that have the same core values as you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, this is like a safe place that God's definitely directing me towards, because he's going to close doors and it might be hard mm-hmm. to receive those rejections from companies or letters of regret. But he wants me to be here, and I'm happy that I did, even though there are times where I question, like, why am I here? What is my role? Or stuff like that. Like, what am I bringing to the table?
Mm-hmm.
I know that he's here and I'm still here. So there's a reason that he's brought me, and I'm excited to know what that is one day.
So if culture says, climb the ladder,
mm-hmm.
make progress, get a place where you can see 10 steps ahead and set about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like what your faith has told you, I would say what religion has taught you in this case, is to view yeses and nos as God's action
mm-hmm.
in your life.
Yeah.
Now that you're here, is this struggle that you're having a struggle to trust God?
I'd say sometimes yes. I go definitely through waves of, man, I like God, I trust you completely. I know you have me here for a reason. It's going to be great. And then sometimes I'm like, why am I here? Why did you put me here? I don't understand. I could be doing something else. Like, why didn't you have another plan for me? Like, what is your plan? Like, so many questions. So I definitely I've been trying to be more mindful of just my internal conversation that I have with God in my head, and just say, okay, this is my thought about this currently. I'm sort of confused. I'm also upset with you, maybe, with God.
For bringing you here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. For this being.
Yes, exactly.
The open door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I am going to trust you. I got it.
So tell me about your journey with contentment? Do you have one? Do you think about it? I think it's something that every person goes through periods of time where they struggle with contentment. Yeah. Is that an idea that you've considered in this phase that you're in?
Yes. There are definitely some times where I am more peaceful where I am, but there's still the comparison on social media, on LinkedIn.
I just said no to LinkedIn.
You don't like it?
I don't do it.
No. Oh, yeah. No.
I was like, I can't. I'm not doing that platform. Well, and I just said no.
The interesting thing about LinkedIn, though, is I didn't understand it. I didn't like it. But I felt like I had to have it because it's...
Everybody has it.
Yeah. It's like you're...
Except for Allie.
It's like you're...
I don't have it.
Except Allie.
Everybody has it.
Because it's like your digital resume. It's how you network. Right. And I'm like, you feel like you need to have it. And it's... If you don't, why not? If you don't know how to use it, you should. Like, then it just makes me feel more, like, unstable where I am. Like, oh, this is wrong. This is wrong. But like I said, I just have to take myself out of it and be like, no, talk myself down. That's like the worldly view God wants you here. You don't need to have all these things that people have listed on their LinkedIn. You don't need to have this position. You don't need to have this salary. Like,
how much does social media, LinkedIn and other platforms?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, you did, girl.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, you did. Good.
How much does that play into the temptation to compare?
Oh, man.
Is it the primary means?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So just talk about what that feels like.
When I first started at Crossroads, so about a year ago, I was super pumped. I was like, first job. This is amazing. The community of people is great. I'm comfortable here from Cincinnati. My friends were starting jobs at the same time. They sort of knew what they were doing for a while. Like I said, a lot of them are business schools. They've had internships. That stuff's planned ahead of time with them, I feel like, mostly. So when I would see their posts like, look at this business trip that I went on. Look at this award that I got. I got a raise within 6-8 months of all of us pretty much starting around the same time. That was really hard for me. I was super proud of them, super happy for them, because they're my friends, and I want them to perform well, to do well, to be happy. But when I was comparing it to where I am, it felt like I wasn't at the same level as they were. And I know that we are working in very different areas, but it's hard to not compare when you see people seem to be on the rise, on the incline, like doing super well. I'm like, I went to base camp today and I unboxed a lot of boxes. It was great. but it's just very different. And then when you just compare those things, that I really, really notice, and I've had many conversations with people on my team about this, I notice when I'm not doing something active to combat those comparison thoughts, I get to a very dark mental place or emotional space, and I can just feel this like weight that's on me, and it gets heavier the more I scroll, whether that's Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever. And I really had to start integrating like working out every day after work. Well, one, because if I don't go to Planet Fitness and it's 50 feet away, that's just sad. But those things, getting my mind off of it, that I found has been super helpful for me, or when we fast or just get rid of something to sort of clear our minds for something else, I immediately do social media. I'm like, I know I don't need it. I know I'm going to feel so much better without it. Thank God for that new like screen time application that happens on your phone. It tells you how much you've been on your phone. That's been super helpful in keeping me off of my phone and off of those apps that I know are not healthy. I've come to this realization recently. We're all uniquely made. None of us are the same. And yet we compare each other like we're the same. There's no reason for us to compare. But it's like we do that. That's just what humans do. The world says build up your resume so you have the best resume, so you're the best applicant and you get the best job. And if you're not, then you need some work.
Okay, so I can't help but share Romans 12, which I know you ladies all know. I'm going to read a slightly different translation of it. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then, this is the best part for you and for me and for everybody else. Then you will learn to know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Whoa. Like, what if that's what he's doing?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
What if what God is doing in you, ironically, has nothing to do with working at a church? Mm-hmm. What if it has to do with you not being in the path of the world so he can extract you from that early in your life? Mm-hmm. What if you're special to him because he's doing that?
Yeah.
Like, for real, how long could you lose? You could lose decades, Corinne, mm-hmm. doing what everybody else does. And you might have. And a lot of your friends will.
Yep.
And you're so precious to God that he's doing that instead. Oh my gosh. Like, it probably has nothing to do with Crossroads.
Yeah.
It's just the irony that he's going to extract you from the world while you're here. Mm-hmm. But then you'll do something else and you won't be copying the behavior and the customs of the world. Holy crap.
That's crazy.
You're probably super important to him because he said about that when you're 23. He could have waited till you were 43.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
That's sweet.
What drives discontent in your life? Like, if Corinne, because of where she is and how her friends communicate and what they're doing, is there something that drives discontent for you right now? Could be something wildly different.
Honestly, very similar to you, Corinne. Not necessarily that I have any kind of fear of missing out, but a fear of not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
I by nature, like to control stuff. And so it helps me when I know, like, I try to plan my life so that I know that I remember to do all the things. And that's just how I believe that my life works the best. And what I know about control is that it's really a lack of trust. That's what I know about it. Because I'm old and I've played in this water for a long time. And so when I am most uneasy, it's when I don't know what's going to happen, when I don't know the future. And what that means to me, like when I take it a step back, it just means, oh, I'm not trusting that God actually does have a plan for me. I'm not trusting that he knows best, that he cares deeply. And he knew that this time was coming. So I don't necessarily stay there long, but I do know that the mm-hmm. essence of me is a girl who likes to know and control everything because I am generally probably not a trusting person mm-hmm. in God and maybe in other people.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about something my friend said to me. This was years ago, well before I was like aware of the fact that we all have these moments where we're afraid we missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally said that to me. I don't even remember what I was saying. And she like stopped me mid-sentence and she goes, stop. You are staying as close as you know how to God. He's never going to let you miss it.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, why did you just say that to me? She was like, you're afraid you're going to miss what he has for you. She was like, I'm telling you, he's never going to let that happen. Yeah. And I just stood there and I was like, I barely even understood why she said it to me at the time, but she was seeing something, that anxiety, that nervousness. And in that particular context, it was about God. But I think you could go well outside of that and say, if anything, I'm lucky that I have the idea to come back to that there's a God who loves me and has a plan for my life. If you don't believe that, you only and ever have that constant anxiety that mm-hmm. you could be missing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because then what are you going to do with that? What yeah. if you are missing it? That's and right. you probably are missing yeah. out on a lot of things. Yeah. That's just the truth. Because
right.
we can only be one
you
person
be
with
what,
one set right. of experiences in one place at yeah. one time. And you are
that's right.
missing out. You yes. are. You're missing all the things you're not doing. And the thing is to get close enough within the arena of a God who won't let that happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what my friend was trying to tell me. Now it's probably been 15 years since she said that to me. And now I I think I understand that a little bit better, but I think here's mine for my moment is I have this old lie that I'm not very unique, that I'm like lots of other people. And so my life is going to be like lots of other people. And I'm afraid that that means I'll never have anything unique. That there's no God who has something just for me. Mm-hmm. That it might be good, like I might live a good life, but it's probably going to be like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I live in a town where lots of other people live, and I go to a church where lots of other people go, and my life does. I shop at Target like lots of other people shop. You know, so it's that weird in between of, yes, there are always going to be moments that mark that's for me. And I'm going to live an existence like a lot of other people live. And so I always have to be going back to God going, I'm not going to miss it, right? You're going to, like, when it's time for me to do the things that only I can do, which might not be every day, I can trust you. You're not going to let me miss that, right? Because in the meantime, I'm going to be going to Target and taking my kids to school and looking like everybody else. Now, the most satisfying moments for me are knowing God set that up and pushed me right into it.
Yes.
And that was for me.
And obedience is spectacular, actually. I have a kid, let me be honest. Obedience
I love it when she does what I tell her to do.
Yes, that's spectacular. And I believe that God is like, yes, Corinne, go, go, go. Be obedient because that's what I called you to do. I think that's spectacular.
Yeah, it really is.
There's two things that I've thought about. Number one, I bet that Allie and I have a different perspective. Like, we hear you talking, and because I'm a mom, remember, and feel like I want to hug you and pat you and tell you that everything's going to be okay, and I want to solve your problems. And I believe that as a 43-year-old woman, like, my brain is like, she's going to be fine. It's actually, it's all good. She don't even know, but it's so good. But whatever, like, she's, and you have to kind of walk through it. So that's one thing. And I don't know if you feel the same way, if you're like,
I do believe that it's all good.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hug you on my shoulder. I want to go, I'm glad that God is leaving you dangling in midair right now. It's going to be the best thing because what he does is the best thing for you. And I trust him with your life, so I'm going to hold you there, too.
Yeah. The uncomfortable stuff makes you better.
Right?
Not the ease stuff.
Latasha can hug you, and I can point at you while you're falling over.
I feel so supported in many facets.
We've been looking all season for the third way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think no better time to say what the third way is. I think Jesus says it himself really, really clearly in Matthew 6. So I'm going to read this, and then you ladies add on. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Mm-hmm. Right?
I think so. Are you not much more valuable than that?
Oh, I think I am.
You are. I think that's the third way that we're desperately searching for, all of us, I believe. Corinne, very acutely right now, but everybody dangles in the middle of discontentment, comparison, fear of missing out, dips in and out of that all the time. And I think what Jesus would say to us is, I take care of the insignificant pieces, the things that seem insignificant in my creation, and you are the top, the most important.
Man.
How would I not also take care of you?
So go take a nap and turn off your social media.
I'd love to do
go
that.
Go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Open some boxes.
Yep.
Get off of Instagram.
Give me a hug. Do all of those things. God cares deeply for you.
Hi, Kay. NPR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. We always love to hear from our listeners, so drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at ikrpodcast. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.